through a relationship with you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I was not here, and it was Werner's first sermon officially with us. So I would just like to also welcome him and Junaid. So both of you, sorry, you'll have to come up again. And I just want to say welcome to the team. It's such a privilege to have you guys with us. We've been praying and waiting for a long time for you to finally come. And we're very excited. We're building a dream team here. We've got Werner and Hendrik and Christopher and John and Kenny and my vrou. So we are building this team. Thank you so much, guys. In case you didn't meet them before, you will definitely during the time. They are amazing people, and we are so excited to have them with us. We are busy with a series on the resistance, and we're looking at our spiritual battle that we fight as part of the kingdom of God. And what is this battle that we are part of? It's not a physical war. It is a spiritual war, but this battle is as real as any physical battle. It's not a passive war. It's a very active war for the hearts and minds and the salvation of the souls of men and women and children. This spiritual war is fought with spiritual weapons. And what we've been doing in the past couple of weeks is just looking at the reality of this battle, the weapons and the armor given to us that is necessary for us to survive, overcome in this battle that we are fighting. Therefore, the armor and the weapons that God gives us is necessary. It's necessary for us to survive, to fight and overcome in this war. We cannot enter this battle unprepared, because it's not a passive war, but an active one. And therefore, these things are important to us, to realize the battle, but also the provision that God has made for us, so that we are able to stand, overcome, and achieve the victory. And so we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, sorry, from verse 10. And we're just going to read that again as an introduction. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day, on the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand firm. And I just want us to stop there for a moment. And I just want us to go back to verse 11 that says, put on the whole armor of God for a reason. This is the reason you need to put on the armor, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, the armor of God is given to us for a specific reason, to protect us against the schemes and the attacks of the devil. And each piece of the armor has a specific focus and purpose against a specific scheme of the devil, to try and immobilize us so that we will not be effective in this spiritual war that is raging for the hearts and minds and the salvation of souls. And so God has given us the armor and the weapons so that we can be effective, not just to stand against the attacks, but to overcome. So the reason we have this armor is to defend ourselves against the schemes of the devil. And it is important for us to understand what those schemes are, so that we can know how to use the armor that is given to us. And so each piece is meant to defend against a particular scheme and attack of the devil. So we started off with the belt of truth. Why that is important is because one of the first things that the devil will do to make us ineffective as children of God in the kingdom is to attack the truth in the Word of God. And if we do not know the truth, believe in the truth, the devil will be able to deceive us with a lie, as he did from the beginning. So therefore, it's important to not just understand what the belt of truth is, but how to use it. We need to find the truth for ourselves, believe in the truth, and be able to stand in it, because the devil will come against it, as we so clearly see in the world that we live in today. And then also the concept of the breastplate of righteousness, which Pastor Vanner shared so powerfully last Sunday about, is something outside of ourselves. It's not our own righteousness we put on. It is His righteousness. So one of the schemes of the devil is to say that you are not good enough. You are not good enough to be accepted by God. You are not good enough to be used to God. And therefore, if we look at our own righteousness to try and protect against the accusation, that is the scheme of the devil, because the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, is His righteousness, not our own. So when He attacks us and saying that we are not good enough, if we do not put on God's righteousness, we will either fall into striving, trying to become perfect in our own strength, that will lead to a religious, judgmental, and prideful life, or we'll look at our own righteousness and fall into despair and give up. Because we feel we're not good enough. And that's why it's understand that His righteousness protects me from the lie and the scheme of the devil that says, I am not good enough. And therefore, I want us now to go to the next part of the armor and see what it is and what it's meant to protect us against, so that we can be effective to stand against the scheme of the devil. So here we look at verse, let's just go here, before I continue, the reason why this is important is because the moment you get saved, you step out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you become a threat. You become a threat to the devil. You see, the devil's fate has been sealed. The moment Jesus rose from the dead, overcame sin and death, made a disarming the devil and all his powers, made a public spectacle of them, their fate was sealed. The end was sure. And now they're simply buying time. They know the end is right from the Garden of Eden, when God spoke over man and said, you know, to the devil, you will strike at the heel, but they will crush your head. His fate was sealed, and Jesus came to confirm that, His resurrection. And now they're buying time. And while you were still in His kingdom, unsaved, unredeemed, you were no threat because you were under the power of sin and the desires of the flesh. But the moment you got saved, redeemed, and became a child of God, the Spirit of God lives within you. You became part of the kingdom of God that advances against hell, and hell will not prevail against it. So you become a threat. So the first thing the devil would want to do is to not get you saved. And once you're saved, if he cannot stop that, he will try to make you ineffective as a child of God in the kingdom of God, in this battle that rages. And that was this word so powerfully shared. The way the kingdom of God advances against the kingdom of God, darkness, is very simple. It is every time a soul gets saved. Every time somebody gets saved, the kingdom of God advances. And so the devil will do anything in his power to prevent this kingdom coming closer to the end. So if he cannot stop you from your salvation, he will try to neutralize your effectiveness in the kingdom, and if possible, lure you back into his kingdom. And that's why 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand firm. So I want us to go on and look at the next armor that God has given us. So we continue here from verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the next one is the preparation of the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Some translations speaks of the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, if you look at the Greek word, you can either translate it in the preparation of the gospel or the readiness of the gospel, but it all points to the same thing, that the next armor, this next thing that we need to put on, so that we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil and overcome in this battle is our readiness, preparation to share the gospel. Now, why is this so important? And how do this preparation, readiness to share the gospel enable us to stand against the schemes and fight in the spiritual battle? Well, in one sense, it's quite obvious. Like I shared, the way the kingdom advances is through the salvation of souls, and God in His wisdom chose that it is through the sharing of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching, that men, women, and children will be saved. It is through the hearing of the gospel and responding to the gospel that men and women are redeemed, born again into the kingdom of God, and receive the Spirit of God, an inheritance eternal, and with that, eternal life. It is through the hearing of the gospel. So one of the obvious schemes that the devil would use to try and prevent the kingdom from advancing against his darkness is to silence the gospel. It's very obvious. The devil wants to silence the hearing of the gospel, because without the hearing of the gospel, no man, woman, or children will be saved. And so the devil will do anything to prevent that from happening. Either through our unwillingness or not being ready, prepared to share the gospel. And therefore, Paul writes, he says so powerfully, so in Romans 1 verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. It is the power of the gospel that leads men unto salvation. So Paul says, with everything that is within me, I am ready to share it, because I know this leads men, women, children into the kingdom of God. And the devil knows that. So he would want to try and discourage us. One of the schemes of the devil is to neutralize us, to silence the sharing of the gospel. This putting on the shoes of the readiness, the preparation of the gospel, is very powerful and at the same time challenging. You know, this readiness to share the gospel, Paul uses military terms to describe our battle as he points to armor in a very familiar way of the time. But this readiness to share the gospel reminds me of a modern military term that we use often. I was in a mechanized unit when I was in the military, and that means we were in armored vehicles that moved with tanks. So there was a lot of soldiers in armored vehicles. We were 14 in total in a vehicle that moved with tanks, and then we disembarked from those vehicles as we continued in the battle. And one of the things that the commander does before he plans his attack is he wants to know how many units, whether it's a squad, a platoon, a company, doesn't matter what size, the commander wants to know how many units are combat ready. The question is not how many units does the army have. The question is how many of those units are actually combat ready. Because the army might have 10 units, but 4 of them are still in training. Another 2 units, vehicles are broken down. And so therefore, there are only 4 left that are actually combat ready. There are only 4 that we can actually use. You know, in my platoon, there was 4 vehicles. And if 2 of the vehicles are broken down and needed repair, we as a unit are not combat ready. We are not ready to go to war because we have to first fix the vehicles. We first need to prepare them for battle before we are ready. And so the South African Air Force, you know, we have these amazing modern combat planes, the Gripens, and we've got 26 of them. Amazing modern planes. But we only have 12 pilots trained to fly them. So when we have to go to war, we cannot count on 26, we can only count on 12. And the problem is we don't have enough pilots who are willing to become Air Force pilots, because it's far more lucrative to fly for a civilian airline. So we don't have enough pilots to actually fly the plane. So it's not always the equipment that's the problem. Sometimes it's just the willingness of people to fly them. So Paul speaks in military terms and the necessity for us to put on the shoes, as Pastor Vanner so powerfully explained last week, it's something that you need to choose to do. You actually need to put it on. It's a choice. And I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with someone where you had the opportunity to share the gospel, but you were not ready. It kind of took you off guard. You were not ready at that moment to share the gospel, and so that opportunity passed you by. Or maybe you were in a conversation and the opportunity presented itself, but you did not feel that you were prepared, that you were ready to give the right answer or how to answer in this moment. And because you felt you were not ready, you let the opportunity go by. I mean, I had many of those opportunities in my life. Even this weekend, I was traveling to Cyrus to help another church in conflict resolution. And on my way there, there was an elderly man walking between Worcester and Wolseley. And so I stopped and I reversed and I picked this person up and I was thinking on, and you know, as I was, speaking to this elderly man, how can I share the gospel? But he was speaking so softly and I could hardly hear what he was saying. And I'm a bit hard hearing of all the shooting when I was younger and I can't really hear. And I'm trying to figure out how am I going to share the gospel, when and how can I facilitate this? And before I knew it, there was his turn off. And I had to drop him off, and I missed an opportunity, and all of a sudden I realized, as I was contemplating this, that the readiness and preparation to share the gospel starts actually a step back. It starts with our willingness to share the gospel. Before we are ready and prepared, we first need to be willing. You see, because if you are not willing to share the gospel, it doesn't matter what opportunity you have, you will never share the gospel. If we're not willing to share the gospel, we will never get to the place where we're actually ready and prepared to share the gospel. And even though the best opportunity may arise, if we are not willing to share the gospel will never be shared. And so the Word of God encourages us to put on the shoes. And so this morning is not about just understanding what is the shoes of the gospel, but the question is, are we willing to actually put it on? Because without the willingness, the gospel will never be shared. And you know what? Sharing the gospel is really not that difficult. I can teach somebody in 1 minute how to share the gospel. God loves you. He's given His Son to save you from your sin and guilt. And if you are willing to humble yourself and accept Him as Lord and repent of your sins, He will forgive you, redeem you, adopt you as your own, and give you eternal life. And then you share your testimony. That was 15 seconds. And yes, there are great courses out there, and you can spend 5 days being trained and equipped and prepared to share it if you want more detail. Or you can come to our Encounter 5, it's a half a day, and we will encourage and equip you and prepare you to share your gospel. But even though we do all those things, if you are not willing to share the gospel, nobody will hear it. And so to put on the shoes of the readiness to share the gospel starts with a willingness to actually do it. It's one thing to understand what it means. It's another thing to actually be willing to put your feet in it. And that's what God is encouraging us. And yes, the devil is very clever. He has so many schemes out there to try and discourage us, to make us unwilling. The fear of man, the fear of rejection, the fear of not knowing what to say or how to say it. The belief that it is not politically correct or that it is not necessary for us to share the gospel. That's all schemes of the devil. And the list continues. But God encourages us to put on the shoes, the readiness to share the gospel. The question this morning is, are we willing? You know, Romans 10 verse 15 says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And Paul writes in John 15, as we read earlier, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. To you are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So let us consider today our willingness. Not just our understanding of what these shoes mean and represent, but our willingness to share the gospel. That we will ask God and say, yes, Father, I choose to be willing to be used by you. I respond to this invitation to be co-laborers, to be partakers of the final instruction, the Great Commission, to be part of your passion and your purpose. And Lord, I am not able, I am not equipped, I am not ready as I am, but God, I am willing, so I ask you, Holy Spirit, come teach me, show me, prepare me, so that I will be ready when the opportunity comes. If we make that decision today, the training is there if needed. The Holy Spirit is within you and will empower you as you speak the words of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And then there is your testimony. Like we read earlier, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not fear. They did not love their lives unto death. They were willing to lay down everything. But it is all about the willingness. If we are willing. You know, I remember those conversations I had with people that led to their salvation. I so vividly still remember so many conversations on beaches, in cars, in homes, in churches. I remember the day when my father turned 75 and he asked us, his sons, to baptize him. I remember those moments. I cherish them. That is the greatest moments in my life. When I see a sinner come to repentance and receive the forgiveness, the freedom, the joy, and destiny, belonging, hope, love, joy for eternity. There is nothing greater, and God has granted us to be the messengers of this good news so that we can partake in this joyous moment when men and women turn to God and the kingdom advances. That is our privilege. There is no greater joy. The question this morning is you, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to put on these shoes and be ready? I want to give you a few moments and just for you to talk to the Lord. Just in your own words. Just as all the eyes are closed. We're going to give you in a moment just to respond to the Lord yourself. Just speak to him about this invitation. To put on the shoes, the invitation to share the gospel. This morning it's simply a question of willingness. So won't you take a moment and just respond to the Lord as he asks you today, are you willing? Let's just do that together. as all the eyes are still closed, there were three invitations I believe the Lord laid on my heart to make this morning. And the first is an invitation to eternal life. An invitation to eternal life. Forgiveness, freedom, peace. It's all found in Christ. God says, I have given you my Son. I have sacrificed him so that you may have life. Choose life. If that is you this morning and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you are far away from him, maybe you turned away from the Lord, he's calling you again this morning. He's saying, I'm making you an offer. I've given my Son as an exchange for your life. If you believe, if you choose to believe what I've done for you, I will give you eternal life. But you need to lay down your life. You need to bow your knee. You need to forsake all other and follow me, and you will have eternal life. If that is you this morning and you want to respond to that invitation of eternity with God, I want to give you an opportunity to respond by just raising your hand. While all the eyes are closed, it's just between you and the Lord. If you are here this morning and you want to give your life, you want to surrender your life to Him, this is it. This is an opportunity. Is there anybody here who'd like to respond? Just raise your hand. Just between you and the Lord. Then there's another invitation I would like to make. That is for us that are here, that already decided to embrace God's salvation through His Son. God is calling each and everyone this morning again, I believe, as He did His first disciples, where He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And if that is you this morning, if you are willing to respond to His invitation to become a fisher of men, God says, I will teach you to become one. I will change you to become one. So if that is you this morning, I just want you to respond while all the eyes are closed. It's just between you and the Lord. It is an act of putting on the shoes of the willingness, the readiness, the preparation to share the gospel. And if that is you, just raise your hand before the Lord. It is an act that you do. You need to put it on. You need to physically do it. It's just something you can raise your hand, you can drop it again, you don't need to keep it there, but act on it. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I hear your voice. I hear your Spirit calling. I can see where you are moving. And Lord, yes, I am willing to be part of where you're taking church. The purpose of church in this world is to advance your kingdom, and you've granted me the opportunity to be part of it. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we will be together in a glorious victory when you return. And we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over much, because together we overcame to my glory and mine alone. And what a privilege we have to be part of this. Lord, I thank you for every heart that responded. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach, that you will equip, that you will open our eyes to see the opportunities, so that when they arise, Lord, we will be ready. And God, I pray for every step of faith in sharing testimonies and the gospel, Lord, that you will grant us to see the lost turn to you, that we may share in this amazing miracle and the joy that it brings to see people turn to you as we ourselves did once, that it will continue in and through us. And then there's a third invitation I want to make. So I was just meditating during worship. It's Mark chapter 9. There are some of us who want to say yes, but you are struggling to believe. You are struggling to believe that you have the capacity, that you have the willingness, that you have the faith for it. Mark 9 verse 23, a man came to Jesus and asked him, pleaded with him for the healing of his son. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Maybe you are here and you want to say yes, but you do not believe enough, or you think you don't have enough faith or the capacity to do so. But God is inviting you today, not based on your ability or your faith or your capacity, but simply your willingness. And if that is something that kept you from responding, I want to give you this opportunity right now, while all the eyes are closed, just to respond to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I am like that man. I want to believe, Lord, but help me in my unbelief. Thank you for that, Dan. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for these people, Lord, because they will see the power of God in and through them as they open their mouths. In their weakness and humility, you will empower them and speak through them, Lord. I pray that they may see great sinners turn to you and testimonies of your faithfulness, nothing of their own, but only yours in the lives of countless people. Lord, I pray for us as a church. Thank you for what you're already doing. I pray, Lord, that you will do even greater. Lord, that we will leave this place, Father, as sent ones, as you prayed over your disciples. Father, as you sent me, I am sending them. Lord, we are receiving the commission, and we are willing to respond so that your kingdom may come, your name may be glorified forever and ever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just stand together as we worship this final song. Let's just focus on the Lord. Continue to speak to Him in our willingness to share the gospel.